Good evening, folks. So nice to have each one of you here tonight for the gospel meeting. Could we start with number 137? He left the brightness of his home for sinners such as us. Rejected and a stranger here, he came to die. He is the loving voice we hear that leads us to the sky. We bless thee, Lord, who came to earth for us to die. 137, second verse. Only begotten Son of God, he left the courts on high to tread the weary paths of earth. He came to die, and angel voices at his birth, his praises chanted high, and shone upon his lowly thank you for helping me with that tune. Blessed God, our Father, we give thanks for the one who came to die. Not just to be an example, for he did leave us the example that we should follow his steps. But the next verse, as we've read in our Bibles many times, says, who did no sin, but he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. We thank thee, Father, for such a gift. And for his words as he prayed before thee, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. We thank thee, Lord Jesus, personally, for those words, last words uttered on the cross. It is finished. Thou dost bow thy head and give up thy very life. We praise thee, Lord, for the message tonight because of that finished work of the cross, and pray for souls in this place. And we know that our children or grandchildren here, whoever they might be, are in need, as thou knowest, if they have truly received the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we ask thee, thou wilt do the work in their hearts. It is thy work, not ours. And we give thanks and ask these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Could we look at a few verses in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. And verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. The verse that we had in Romans chapter 12 was the first verse really stamped upon our hearts very clearly. We spent a whole meeting on that verse. And if I can quote it right, it goes something like this. I beseech you, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And it reminded me of this verse here of the beseeching of the Apostle Paul. There it was for believers, beseeching them that they would present their bodies a living sacrifice. Because according to the Word of God, the body of the believer is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amazing thought. That the God who designed and built this universe and many just like it is great enough, who dwells in eternity. He has come into this world as a man to die, as we were singing. And not only that, to die for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. But to live in your body and to live in my body. The Scripture says, I believe it's Colossians chapter 1, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ in you. Amazing fact. Do we understand it? I don't begin to understand it. Can I figure it out? I can't begin to figure it out. But I believe what God says. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Bible says, after having believed, they were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit comes to indwell the believer's body. And that body of yours and that body of mine does not belong to me. It belongs to the one who died for it, who bought it with his own precious blood. And here, the opening verse is beseeching. Now we beseech you, brethren. Are you one of the brothers or sisters in Christ that we can come up and shake hands with and look into your eyes and say, dear brother or dear sister, I don't care how young or how old you might be, it doesn't matter. If you're a believer in Christ, you are one that belongs to Him. You are part of that body. You're part of that church that belongs to Him. And maybe you're not, as I was not when I was a boy, looking forward so much to the coming of the Lord because I had a lot of plans. I had a lot of things I was going to do. I thought I was going to do. And wanted to carry out those plans. But nevertheless, you know the doctrine, the truth of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and how wonderful it is to be able to open up a gospel meeting with the truth of His coming back to this earth. Because He is coming back not only to the earth, but prior to that, He's coming to the clouds up above us. And He's going to call you and me home. And we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. You know, it's been wonderful. May I say, my wife and I have rejoiced to be able to be here, to be gathered to the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have not taken that step in your life, no matter how young or how old you might be, to be gathered alone to His blessed name. Maybe you've taken another name. Maybe you've taken a name that is some man's name or the name of a denomination. Scripturally, and I humbly say this, that is wrong. Read Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together unto my name, there am I in the midst of them. And this verse does not say it exactly that way. We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto His name. It doesn't say that. It says by our Scripture so accurate. Every word is divinely inspired by the Spirit of God. By our gathering together unto Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. You and I belong to Him if we're brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ. We are not our own. We're bought with a price. The Bible says, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirits, the mind, which belong to Him. What about your thoughts? What about your body? What about your feet? Do we yield those members of our body to Him? I ask you, dear believers, do we? We ask the prisoners that in the prison. And I'm telling you, some of them in the prisons have nothing to do but to stay in their cells and read the Word of God. Not all of them do that, that's for sure. But some of them spend 4 and 5 hours a day reading the Word of God, and they become so saturated with it. I use Brother Harry Hayhoe's term that he used to use years ago. They become so saturated with it, they think in terms of Scripture. And how good that is for us as believers to become so drenched or saturated with the Word of God. They think in terms of Scripture. And one of the brothers that gets up, his name is Mike, at Fort Madison State Prison. I think he's a lifer. But when he speaks to the group, and we hear him many times, verse after verse after verse comes out of his mouth, of the Word of God. He is saturated with the Word of God. But how blessed to know as we begin this meeting, that we, many of us here, most of us here, belong
to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are waiting for His coming to be gathered together unto Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Why is that? Why didn't He send a delegation? Why did He not send an angelic host? Because we belong to Him. We belong to Him, beloved. And we're going to be gathered together unto Him, not His name in that day. Unto Him alone. We have the privilege in this life as believers. And I'm so thankful to have been raised in a home where some of these truths were taught that we've heard and we hear constantly in the assembly about being gathered to the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've told the Siglers this and the family in my home that as a little boy, I used to go to my grandpa's house, and I just had a sense in my heart that what he was teaching us there, along with breaking the bread and remembering our Lord Jesus Christ, that it was true. I didn't know the doctrine. I didn't understand all of the truths of Paul's doctrine connected with gathering, being gathered to His precious name. But I had a sense that it was right. And I carried that sense with me by the grace of God, only by the grace of God. And of course, yes, I didn't share it with my friends at school. I should have. I didn't share the gospel either. Shame on me. And it was a day after our graduation, my graduation, two of my best friends were taken out of this world. They were hit by a train coming from the Iowa State Fair. Did I ever share the gospel with them? No, I did not. One was an all-state quarterback, and another a very good student. Good friends of mine. Did I share the gospel with them? No. And I attended their funeral, and it was a graveside service. As I look across at the graveyard over here, beautiful graves, beautiful tombstones. It looks like a lovely place. But what is on the other side of that grave? And I have to ask myself the question, friends. What is on the other side of that tombstone for David Mullane and Tom Mathewson? I'm afraid, as far as I know, they were lost. L-O-S-T. What about you tonight? Have you made a profession of Christ? Have you come to the meeting just because your parents want you to be here? And that's very good. Did you obey mom and dad? Oh, do we appreciate the truth of the gospel and the truth that is given to us as gathered to His name. The day and the moment is coming of His return, beloved saints. And we're going to be gathered together to Him forever. He will be the center of the throne. Revelation chapter 5. There was a lamb, as it had been slain, standing in the midst of the throne. He will be in the midst of the throne, gathered to Him in that day. Well, verse 2. That ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. There was a problem in this assembly. Thessalonica. The first epistle of Thessalonians talks about the problem of the rapture. And the apostle sought to square them away on the truth of the rapture. the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says of the Thessalonians, they turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, to deliver us from the wrath to come. And I understand that word wrath has to do with His wrath on this earth. You know, this earth is going to experience His wrath, perhaps in about 7 years, maybe a little more. It's going to experience His indirect and direct judgments. Oh, friends, it's a good thing to be squared away and to know the truth, and not just know the truth, but to receive the truth of the gospel concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, that He died for you personally. We often tell the prisoners, God took one cell from your mom and one cell from your dad, and He brought those two cells together to create you and to create me. And this is how much He thinks of you. He loves you. And He did everything He could possibly do, not to just bring you into being and to create you, but to create you to be able to worship Him, to be saved, first of all, but to be a worshiper of the Lord Jesus Christ. How blessed that is. We're going to be worshiping for all eternity. This morning, we had a little sampling of it here as we're gathered around the Lord and around the table with the emblems, the loaf speaking of His body and the cup of His precious blood that has been shed. That is going to be just on a very greater scale in a coming day when there will be billions in that city four square in heaven above. That 1,500-mile cube city. Can you imagine what the singing is going to be like in that day? It's going to be perfect. It's going to be wonderful. Our hearts will not be distracted, nor our minds. There will be no earthly thing to come between us and Christ. Anyway, to go on here. So the Apostle Paul says that there was trouble in the minds of some of the saints because the day of Christ, they thought, was at hand. So we have two events here, folks. Two events. The next event that's going to happen is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for His saints. The last event that happened was the fig tree that is spoken of in Matthew chapter 24. That's blooming, has bloomed and blossomed. And that is simply put, the nation of Israel has been formed once again. And there they are over there, called Israel, separated from England. And they've become a sovereign state. 1948. The next event that's going to happen, and you know it as well as I do, and you could stand up here and tell the audience exactly what I'm telling them and telling you this evening, that the coming of the Lord is at hand. Dear old brother J. Ruskin Gill used to say, some people say His coming is just around the corner. Some people say it's very near. But I say it's imminent. And some of you remember him, dear brother. But he could get his point across. It is imminent, friends. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Oh, how near it is. And some people make predictions. You know who they are. We know who the man was that made the prediction, May 21st. We're not to make predictions because we don't know when that day is. No man knoweth, the Bible says, the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Not even the Son, which is in heaven, because the Scripture speaks of Him actually as a servant in Mark's Gospel. Therefore, he as a servant does not know. As a servant. But as the Son of God, of course he knows. Because he is God, manifest in the flesh. So first of all, we have the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ that is going to take place at any moment. There were two sisters. One sister was saved, the other one lost. She took her unsaved or lost sister to the gospel meeting one night. And they came home together. They slept in the same bed. And the one sister that was lost didn't say a word. And so the one that was saved got out of bed, and it was dark in the room. And she went in over in the corner of the room and prayed earnestly for her sister. She might be saved. Are you lost? I was afraid to tell anybody that I was lost when I was lost, when I was just a boy. Because everybody said they were saved, so I had to say I was saved too. But I was not. Search your own heart. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. If I can use that verse. The sister is praying in the corner of the room for the one in bed that's lost. And the one who was laying in bed couldn't go to sleep. And she reached over and she put her arm on her sister. Or she thought she would. And she wasn't there. She was gone. I would like to ask you, friends and children, if you wake up some morning, and I did this, and your parents are gone, what would be the first thought that would come into your mind and your heart? The Lord has come. That's what came into my heart and my mind. That day I will never forget. And I searched and I searched and I searched for them and I couldn't find them. And they were clear out the other end of the field somewhere in the state of Iowa where we lived on the farm. And there they were with my two brothers. I don't know what they were doing there to this day, but I do know one thing. I got right with the Lord. And this girl, when she reached over and found that her sister was not in bed, what do you think she thought? The Lord has come. I am left behind. Can you imagine the consternation of souls in this world? And I speak of Christian parents who have children that are lost, that know the truth of the Lord's coming and the thoughts that will go through their minds and their hearts when that happens. We can't begin to understand how it will speak terror into their hearts. Terror. Revelation chapter 6 says they will cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them because of the wrath of the Lamb. They know who the Lamb is. You know who the Lamb of God is. And John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." He has come and He's taken away the sins of those of us who believe. He came to die. Came to die, friends. Born in a manger, a stinking stable. And between the manger and the cross, he had nowhere to lay his head as we were singing. And the world said, finally, away with this man. We will not have him to reign over us. The heart is deceitful above all things, even the religious heart, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I ask you, friends, how about you, if you were that girl or young man laying in bed, you reached over or looked over, turned the light on, and your brother or sister was gone, or your parents were gone the next morning. The first thing that would strike terror into your heart, I'm sure, would be the Lord has come. So the next event that's going to happen is the coming of Christ. Let me finish the story. The girl flipped on the switch as she was terrified that the Lord had come. And she saw her sister on her knees, praying for her. And she said, oh, sis, can I get down and pray with you and receive your Savior's mind? How about you, friends? This world, I understand, has the type already set in some of the big newspaper companies of the world. It's already set. And some people were, there's some companies formed to offer services for taking care of pets if, in fact, the Lord did come on May 21st. The pets that were left behind could be taken care of. Just pay a few bucks and you can have the pet taken care of. Well, friends, it's more serious for our hearts, is it not? Make sure who you belong to. So the next coming suggested here is the day of Christ or the day of the Lord. And that's spoken of in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. The day of the Lord is different, may I say, than the rapture of Christ taking His church out of this world. First of all, He comes for His church. And you and I belong to who belong to Him belong to His church. We are part of His body. He is the head of His body, the church. How blessed that is. But those that are left behind, He's coming back with His church. At the end of 7 years, tribulation period, you know as well as I do, He's coming for them first, and then He's coming back with His church 7 years later to execute wrath on this world. That is the day of the Lord that's coming as a thief in the night. We don't look at Him at His coming as a thief. We look for Him. We expect Him to come at any moment to take us out of this world. How blessed to know that and to know the truth. And not just to know the truth, but to expect Him, to wait and watch for Him, longing for His return. So they've been confused about the day of Christ or the day of the Lord that is coming as a thief in the night. So the devil loves to confuse people about Scripture. We find that in the prisons. There's a mixture of all kinds of things in the prisons. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. A falling away, friends, may I say to you, means apostasy. Can I go out in this world and say that certain personalities are apostates? If I could, and I can't, that means they could never be saved. I'd like to quote you a scripture. It's in Hebrews chapter 6. It is impossible, the Bible says, for those who were enlightened, who have been made partakers, notice the language, partakers of the Holy Ghost, who have tasted of the heavenly gift and the powers of the world to come and the powers of the Word of God. Notice it does not say they received. They only tasted. They only knew. It was known truth, not received truth. And oh, friends, I could name persons in my family who, as a boy or a girl, They made early confessions of Christ as Savior and Lord. And one young man was at the Lord's table. And one day he walked into the kitchen and he told Mom and Dad, he said, "Mom and Dad, I don't want to be at the Lord's table anymore." He got into school, into philosophy classes. And you know what they did? Destroyed his understanding of the Scriptures. To this day, we cannot speak to him about the things of Christ. He told his father before his father died, "Dad, if you come into my home, do not speak to me concerning the things of Christ to me. I don't believe it." Christian ethics, he said, are okay. But I don't believe that I need a Savior. Is he an apostate? It's not for me to say. Because the Lord Jesus Christ could come and save his soul any day, any moment. I trust that he will. But I know of others who have been raised in Christian homes. They've been taught the same things you have been taught. And they made early confessions concerning Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. Today, they deny it. They've thrown it away. Does that mean they were once saved and now they're lost? No. They were never saved in the first place. They only tasted. They were only made partakers of the Holy Ghost. They weren't real in the first place, like Judas Iscariot. He wasn't real in the first place. And he came after he realized he had betrayed an innocent man. He didn't say the Son of God. Because the Bible says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." He didn't believe that Jesus was the Christ. He said, "I betrayed innocent blood," and he threw down the money in the temple. And he went out and hung himself. You might say he was an apostate. Mr. Lundeen used to say there are three steps to apostasy in Hebrews chapter 3. First of all, the hardening of the heart. And how can that happen, I ask you, young people, dear friends? By hearing the message repeated over and over again. You think it's a good thing to think about and a good thing to be concerned about, but you're not really that interested. The second step is to give up known truth. You can trace this out in Hebrews chapter 3. To give up known truth. That's apostasy. That's what we have here. A falling away. That's exactly what Christendom is happening in Christendom today. A falling away from the things that have been known to be truth. A falling away. A giving up. Giving it over. And then the last thing is departing from the living God. Departing from the living God. That was the course of Judas. Awful. Verse 4, "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship." I'm sorry, I should read the end of verse 3. I think I missed that. "And that man of sin be revealed." There is going to be a giving up of Christianity until the man of sin is going to be revealed. When the rapture of the church takes place, and you know this, friends, I'm not repeating something to you that you don't know. I'm sure most of you know this. But when the rapture of the church takes place, it will be the full-blown thing. Men and women and boys and girls in this world left behind will worship a man And they're being primed for it today. You're being primed for it. Maybe you don't know it, but you're being primed for it today. They'll worship a man. That is apostasy. They give up God. Mr. Darby himself says, a public denial of their faith in Christianity or Christ. And then, of course, there'll be awful persecutions to death in that day for those that will not take the mark of the beast. And there are millions, I understand. My wife read me this from the internet the other day. There are millions right now that are testing the little chip. And you know this, friends. It's been put into their hands. This all sounds well and good because this little chip, they can track a person wherever they go, wherever they are. Oh, this is wonderful for children. You put a little chip in your child's hand or in their forehead, and you can track them. You'll know where they are. And it'll sound all well and good. It'll sound like a very, very good thing for society. And so this is he who sits, the Antichrist, the man of sin, that wicked one. He's got several titles. He's going to sit in the temple of God, showing that he himself is God. The end of verse 4. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? How many that are left behind in this world, children of Christian parents, will know these things we're talking about tonight? And they have talked to you about day after day, week after week. Verse 6. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Amazing. It's working, was working in that day, and it's especially working today. Only he, that is the Holy Spirit, he who now hindereth, should be the word, will hinder until he, the Holy Spirit, be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked one be revealed. The coming of the Antichrist, who will be able to call fire down out of heaven, Revelation 13, and do miracles and signs and wonders, verse 9. All power and signs and lying wonders, just what Jesus did. He will counterfeit, be a counterfeit of Christ. So friends, this is the next event that's going to happen. First of all, the rapture of the church. Secondly, and we can expect this, that when the church is gone, we can expect it tonight. Do I expect to be here another week? No. We as believers should be expecting the Lord to come and take us home to heaven to be with Himself. But when we're taken out, the false church is left behind. The true church is in heaven. Read Revelation, the first few verses of chapter 4. I heard a voice, come up hither. The church is in heaven. After Laodicea, Revelation chapter 3, the last phase of the church's history on earth, the church is seen in heaven in Revelation chapter 4. How beautiful. But the false church is left behind. And friends, I ask you, are you going to belong, or do you belong now to the false church? Read further. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. He will be able to do miracles, no doubt, friends. That's what it says in the Word of God. Right here. Notice what it says further. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the truth. That may be true, but it says, to make it very specific, the love of the truth. Oh, that connection with the love of the truth. Who is that? You know who it is. It's the one who left the brightness of his home for sinners such as I. Rejected here and a stranger here, he came to die. He came into his own, the Bible says. His own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe upon his name. So those that are left behind are those that have not received the love, L-O-V-E, of the truth. And for this cause, God will send them, those who rejected Christ. There will be some saved, no doubt, to go into the kingdom that Christ is going to set up when he returns in judgment. That's the day of the Lord, the beginning of the day of the Lord. They will go into the kingdom, but they have not heard the gospel that you and I have heard. And if you go out of this room lost, you have rejected or neglected, whatever word you want to use, the gospel of the grace of God. And if Jesus came tonight, you would be left behind. No second chance. You will be sent strong delusion that you should believe a lie. What is the lie? The coming Antichrist. That's part of it. And all of his deceitful wonders that he'll be able to perform. Call fire down out of heaven. And insist that people take the mark of the beast that he has set up in the temple. All the building parts of the temple are there in Jerusalem, ready to build the temple right now. The animals for sacrifice, many are there already for sacrifice. I don't know where the tabernacle is. Maybe they're going to make a new one. I'm not sure. They claim it's in Ethiopia, but I'm not sure about that. But, friends, there will not be a second chance. Notice verse 12. That they all might be damned. Friends, I bow my head when I think of souls that will be damned. We can't use these words carelessly or indifferently. Are you going to be damned forever and ever? This graveyard, these people are still alive, either in heaven or in hell forever. They all might be damned who believed not. Doesn't say they didn't know, but they didn't believe the truth. But have pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, beloved brethren. We are awaiting the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we may be gathered to him tonight. Oh, wouldn't that be blessed? God now commandeth, now, N-O-W, all men, everywhere, the Scripture says, to repent. Because he has appointed a day, in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. And my wife's French Bible says something like this. He has fixed a day. Nailed down the day. And the man who's going to judge the world, Revelation chapter 19, is the one who is riding on that white horse with the armies of heaven behind him. And on him is a name, the Word of God, who our brother read this morning. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The Word of God is His name. The church will come back with Him in judgment on this world. Friends, He commands you to repent. He's fixed a day. He's going to judge this world by that same man the world crucified. Pontius Pilate was the judge of that day. At least he thought he was. The Lord Jesus Christ will be the judge of Pontius Pilate in a coming day. The great white throne judgment, and this is the fourth thing that's mentioned. First of all, the rapture of the church. Secondly, the event of the manifestation of the Antichrist. The day of the Lord. The fourth thing is eternal damnation. And I saw a great white throne, and Him, the Son of God. All judgment is committed unto the Son. And Him that sat upon it, from whose face the heaven and the earth fled away, and there was found no place for them. Who are the then? Those who have been resurrected in their old sinful bodies. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. Which book are you in, friends? Is your name written in the book of life? Or is your name in the book of death, so to speak? The books were opened and they were judged by those things that were written in those books. And He cast them away from Him into the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. I ask you, friends, seriously, think about what apostasy means. Think about it. Boys and girls, young people, think about it. A giving up. You make a profession that you're saved. And we have that verse, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. You haven't yielded yourself to Him. There's not that fruitfulness in your life as others look on. They see a departure from what they know to be the truth that you should be walking in if you make a profession of Christ as your personal Savior. Could it be? These that I have experienced in my lifetime are apostates. They've given up known truth. They've hardened their hearts. They departed from the living God. We can't say who they are. Only the Lord knows. All I know, friends, make sure you're real. The Bible says in 1 John 5:13, these things are written that you might know, K-N-O-W, our brother quoted it last night, that you have eternal life. How do you know? Because Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Be it known unto you, men and brethren, that through this man, the man Christ Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Only one man you have to deal with. The one who loves you and gave Himself for you. May the Lord draw you to Himself tonight before you wake up and you find mom and dad, your brothers and sisters, gone. Can you imagine the catastrophic condition of this country, especially in many homes that would exist if that happened? May the Lord speak to your heart. I cannot. Only the Lord. Somebody have a song to sing. Maybe just a couple verses. It's pretty late. Yes. Is that 67? 70. Oh, 70. Oh, yes. Number 70. Could somebody start that? Maybe we could just sing the first, third, and fourth verses, number 70. Blessed God, our Father. Oh, how we love our children and our grandchildren. But we know that Thou dost love them far more than we ever will or could. And we pray that Thou wilt speak to their young hearts, wherever they are in this world, whether here or elsewhere. We pray, Lord Jesus, to awaken them as to their need of a Savior. We ask these things in your worthy and precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.